Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. On this beautiful July 19th summer day, we have a lot going on, and we need to focus on right and wrong. Not on what somebody thinks is right or what somebody thinks is wrong, but what is actually right and what is actually wrong. And we know where we get that standard. We know where we get that standard. And Judeo-Christian culture is founded on that standard. And that's why our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's also why we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Anything that's under the feet of Jesus Christ is under our feet if we're abiding in him and him in us. All your problems, all your struggles, all your worries, your anxieties, those things that you just can't seem to either cope with or get rid of in your life, all of that stuff is under the feet of Jesus Christ and under your feet if you're abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in you. What a message of hope that is. What a message of hope. And I want to talk just briefly today about the socialist subversion going on here in America. And I want to talk about this thing that they keep doing, which is, you've heard me say it on the show before, is called projection, where they project onto you how they actually are themselves. So for example, if Antifa members are advocating violence or one of them gets caught making bombs, you don't see a lot about that in the mainstream media, but they try to project onto patriotic Americans, even in particularly most egregiously former military veterans. So former military and veterans, you know, getting tarred and feathered, when in fact it's actually the left that is becoming violent. They were violent in Portland here a couple weeks ago, and there was a peaceful protest. Now, some people did defend themselves, but they weren't attacked first. That's the critical part of this. They weren't attacked first, but they were willing to stand their ground and defend themselves. And these folks in Washington, D.C. are fomenting this violence, whether overtly or not, and then trying to project it onto the patriot community. And it's the patriots that are really the problem, when in fact, they're the ones that are organizing. And if you haven't heard of this organization, you might want to check it out. It's called the Socialist Rifle Association, the SRA. Yes, you heard that correctly. Many of you are probably laughing right now. The Socialist Rifle Association. If they're about peace and they're always saying, hey, we need to take away guns, law-abiding citizens shouldn't be armed, why do they have a Socialist Rifle Association? Could it be that they want to arm themselves and have all of us disarmed? Could it be? I don't know. But it raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? I want to talk quickly, too, about the fact that I call this the socialist review effect. They will smear people and smear people and smear people. And the way that they do it is that every time that they mention somebody, they have a negative connotation added, you know, comma, the guy who is this, or the guy that, or the gal that is that. And, you know, they never talk about, you know, the Communist Party linked Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, who brought in as one of their keynote speakers, a leader of the Communist Party USA, and a supporter of that organization, Sean Vestal, who was listed as a donor on their website. We have a screen captured and everything. They don't talk about that stuff. What they try to make it sound like is that everybody on the Patriot side is, you know, has some nefarious agenda. Even when, in a lot of cases, in our rallies, in our meetings, we are far more diverse in our backgrounds, in our ethnicities. And so you have to ask yourself a question, what's going on? And a friend of mine last night with Pinnacle Forum, I've had him on the show before, named Guy Rogers, he brought up a really good point. He says it's the death of facts. If there's no absolute truth, and truth is whatever it means to whatever else, anybody else, the logical conclusion is even when presented with facts, they'll deny them. Even when presented with objective truth, they'll deny it because it doesn't fit their narrative or what they would call their truth. Now, it's funny that the fact that they say that there is no absolute truth is an absolute truth. So if you're ever arguing with anybody about that, you can always say, isn't that an absolute truth, what you just said? And it'll melt them down a little bit, but it's the truth. And we're seeing the death of facts. And it doesn't matter what Trump says. They will try to find anything, even an innocent misspeak, they will try to find to hang him with. And they've been doing it to a lot of people for years. This is not an isolated thing. It's been going on with conservative political leaders, conservative pastors, conservative business leaders for years and years. And we're just seeing it on the national stage because the president is being subjected to this. And so all of you out there need to understand, if you see somebody attacked on the conservative side, A, look at where it's coming from, and B, I would actually think that that's a endorsement of that person if these guys are attacking them in that way consistently for no reason or just because what they believe. You know, I brought up the 10th Amendment and the state sovereignty movement back in 2009 and continued with that. I got some folks networked together, and I wasn't the only person. You know, we're always part of, you know, a group. But, you know, we got them networked together across the country. And even though the 10th Amendment to the Constitution is clear in what state sovereignty is, even though five Supreme Court cases have said very clearly that the federal government cannot compel a state to enact or enforce a federal regulatory program, even though it's been reaffirmed in other cases, people were still like, this is a secessionist. Nobody ever said that, but they smear people with it. And I want you to, if you take no other message from today, I want you to take this message. If they're doing it to the leaders, eventually they're going to do it to you. It might be comfortable right now. You might have your head below the radar. You may not have any qualms about anything. You may be just cruising through life. But eventually, these people will do it to you. It's the whole point behind free speech. It's the whole point behind not censoring things. Now, Facebook is literally, a Democrat the other day advocated that InfoWars be censored, removed from Facebook. So this is one of the reasons I brought up in a couple earlier shows that we need to push off of some of these sites to patriot conservative Christian sites so that we can keep the message going out there. But understand something. It's not going to stop with just the leaders. They will eventually do it to you. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. I have talked about this before. Club K. Okay, Club K. By the way, not to be confused with Project K, which was the Soviets' EMP testing over Kazakhstan in the 1960s. Club K is a commercialized weapons system offered by Russia to export customers that turns a simple shipping container into a missile launcher. And not just any old missile launcher, but now, according to the Russia Insider, also anti-ship missiles. Before, the concern was ballistic missiles, small ballistic missiles that could be sent up into the upper atmosphere with an EMP on one of these, in one of these container missile launchers, could have a dramatic, sudden, devastating impact on the United States of America, because you could park off international waters. You're talking, what, 20, 30 miles out, launch one of these things. It would move too fast for you to do anything about it, even if you knew it was coming. So now they're admitting that this also, these container-launched missiles, can also include anti-ship missiles. So obviously a direct threat to the United States Navy. Next, I want to talk about something that just makes my heart warm. Arctic sea ice, thicker now than in 1965. This is from iceagenow.info. Here's the deal. The Verge, a left-wing publication, came out and they said, sea ice is melting as proof of global warming, right? So these folks, according to iceageinfo.now, the Journal of Geophysical Research observed the mean thickness of sea ice in the region of the North Arctic and concluded very clearly that it was thinner in 1955 than it has been in recent years. Totally contradicting their narrative. Now, it was so interesting. Snopes tried to say that this is a debunked idea and has nothing to do with global warming. We're not the ones saying it did have anything to do with global warming at the beginning. See, this is a logical fallacy the left uses. It's both a red herring fallacy and a straw man fallacy. In other words, what they do is they try to create what you said when it's not what you said, and then defeat that. Okay, clearly, leftist publications have said that thinning sea ice is as a result of global warming. Now we see that it's proven that the ice is actually thicker, which conclusively disproves their contention, proves the global warming alarmists wrong again, and they all of a sudden try to turn around and say, oh, that's, it has nothing to do with it. Debunked. It's not debunked. In fact, I had a lady on Facebook, posted on Facebook, that the temperatures in Minnesota now are hotter than Florida. So I just took a 10-year temperature outlook between Miami and Minneapolis and said, no, it's like 200 and something days in Miami and like 30 days in Minneapolis of 95 plus degree temperatures, and said, you're totally wrong. They said, no, that's not, you know, that's not what I meant. I meant it just feels hot. No, that's not what you meant. You got caught, but again, because of the death of facts, they didn't want to admit they were wrong. That brings us now to Hungary. God bless Viktor Orban for chasing out George Soros to, he moves to Germany. That's interesting. But also, if you're a history buff, I want you to go back, and actually Netflix has a thing on the Siege of Vienna, or they did. Go research the Siege of Vienna. I think it was 1683, I think. The bottom line is, Jan Sobieski, the Polish general, had an alliance with groups of people from Hungary, part of what is now the Czech Republic, Northern Italy, Austria. And what you're seeing today is so interesting because it is the same people, groups, that have banded together on a similar issue. And being reported both from InfoWars and The New American, first, Poland drawing a line in the sand. This is a quote from a Polish official. Quote, we will not receive one, even one Muslim in Poland, end quote. And they're talking about the immigration, the mass immigration that is going over there. And they're essentially saying, we are not going to take any more of these immigrant populations. Italy, quote, we are no longer the refugee camp of the world, end quote. The next goal of stopping once and for all the mafia of human trafficking will be to bring the migrants back to their places of origin, end quote. So the Italians and the Polish very clearly saying, we're done. We're not going to go along with the European Union. And wow, has that had a reaction from the European Union. Now, they're threatening those countries, but they're banding together and they're sticking to it. And I want to be clear on this. They are trying to preserve the integrity and the sovereignty of their countries. And they view the European Union as breaking down that sovereignty. That's why there is a rise of what I would call nationalism versus globalism, sovereignty of countries. And it doesn't say, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't talk to other countries. In fact, Trump's been accused of this many times, and he's talking to leaders all over the world, and he should be. He's a president. You don't have to agree with people to go talk to him. But these countries now in Eastern Europe are preserving the sovereignty and integrity of their borders. And I was reading quotes to you from these officials, and they've had enough. And it's going to be interesting to see if the European Union takes any substantial steps in those countries and then what the reaction is going to be. There is discussion about some of these countries leaving the European Union. So that moves us to the National Front and Trump and Russia. We had a Major General retired Paul Vallely on the show, and he said he implied that he was working on a summit between Putin and Trump, and it looks like it has come to pass. And it's so interesting. Trump's trying to go there to talk with another world power about peace. And one Democrat congressman tries to make it sound like this is treason. He's a president of the United States. He's supposed to talk to other world leaders. Where was all the outcry when Obama bowed to the Saudi king? Come on. It's ridiculous. But this goes to the point of, and I find it very ironic that the left is projecting again onto Trump, you know, about collusion with Russia. What about Uranium One? What about the massive communist infiltration into leftist organizations? And we're starting to see that mainstream now. We're socialists, like the one in New York, just totally outright socialists, like the one in New York, Bernie Sanders as well, are just coming out and saying, yeah, we're socialists and we don't care. Right? And where did that all start? It started from a Russian KGB influence in the United States of America that is very well documented. Witnessed by Whitaker Chambers, spells it out in detail. The Whole of Their Lives, another book on the issue. But the fact of the matter is that they're now trying to project that onto patriots who just want to see peace. Why not talk to Vladimir Putin? I mean, George Bush did. Obama did. So interesting to me. Also on the national front, the NSA, this is now official, coming to us from The Intercept, has hidden spy hubs in 8 cities that are working directly with U.S. corporations. Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, New York City, San Francisco, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. And they are claiming they've identified an AT&T facility containing networking equipment that transports large quantities of internet traffic across the United States and the world. And they're indicating that these buildings are central to an NSA spying initiative that has for years monitored billions of emails, phone calls, and online chats. Now, it's interesting that now people are saying, oh, well, there just is no more privacy. We just need to give up on it. The founding fathers did a lot of research historically because they knew of the mistakes of the Greeks and the Romans, the Saxons, the Angles, and many others. And they said, we don't want to repeat this. So there's a Fourth Amendment that we should be free from unreasonable and warrantless searches in our effects. And effects was a word, a catch-all word they used to mean everything else that they didn't name. So if your file cabinet is free from an unreasonable search without a warrant, then your electronic file cabinet should be free from an unreasonable search without a warrant. And the fact is that William Binney, the guy that the architect of this entire program, is now against it because he had introduced encryption protocols on individuals in the United States for exactly the reason of complying with the Constitution. And so if you don't know William Binney, look him up, B-I-N-N-E-Y, because he's talking about this. Also on the national front, IntelliHub, and if you have not seen this, you really, really need to take a look at this. I posted it up on Facebook. IntelliHub has a timeline, and they're showing that they are have proven, this is IntelliHub, have proven that there were multiple shooters in Las Vegas, and that the official narrative is completely debunked. And they have it lined out, timeline, and then they also have the primary source documents linked to it. So check out that IntelliHub article on the Las Vegas shootings. I've had some private conversations with some folks in the know, and it's very clear, even to former law enforcement officials, that this just is not adding up. And that very clearly the Saudi king, or now king, it was present down there. One of the princes, excuse me, was present down there. I guess they call that a crown prince or something. Anyway, whatever. He was down there in Vegas. So there's all kinds of questions swirling around this. And IntelliHub lays it out very well and factually. So take a look at that. Also on the national front, Congress is pushing a renewed push, actually, to recognize the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization inside the United States of America. Now, for those of you that have been following along in the Holy Land Foundation trial, largest terror financing trial in the United States in its history, there were a list of organizations that were found as part of an explanatory memorandum seized during the raid of a secret sub-basement. And in those memorandums, they listed the groups in the United States of America that were part of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. Now, it's interesting that in that document they listed, and this was admitted and found, as a matter of fact, in law by a judge, these folks were found, as a matter of fact, in law to be unindicted co-conspirators. Among them, the Council of American Islamic Relations and also North American Islamic Trust. North American Islamic Trust owns the mosque in Spokane Valley, Washington, and several other mosques as well. And throughout the United States, apparently dozens and dozens. But what this tells us is that in this explanatory memorandum tells us is that the Muslim Brotherhood tentacles in America are pretty far-reaching. And the United Arab Emirates listed them as a terrorist organization, and everybody's been asking, why are we not treating them as a terrorist organization? Egypt had this whole government transition and then transition back because of the Muslim Brotherhood. And there's some pretty big implications here with this. And it's very frightening to me that we have some local people that are running as Democrats that are unashamedly defending some of these organizations. And literally, and are defending Indivisible and Antifa and some of these other organizations. It just doesn't make sense to me. And the presentations on the Muslim Brotherhood have all the primary source documents. I've seen them. There's actually training for law enforcement on these issues. This is not in dispute. And so why are we treating it as if it is? Also on the regional front, on the good news front, the Hammonds were pardoned. Thank you to President Trump and everybody that worked behind the scenes. I had some very high-level discussions. I do want to thank Kathy McMorris Rogers as well for the discussions that we had on that issue. And it was just great to see justice done there. However, today, Todd Engel was sentenced to 14 years, even though the evidence that led to the dismissal with prejudice in the Bundy's case really wasn't taken up in that case. And I think we need to have another move to have Todd Engel pardoned. And we need to see also if they're going to do a reconsideration with this new material evidence and get that whole thing thrown out. 14 years. It's almost like, I hate to say it, but it's almost like it's retaliation. It's weird. You know, I mean, 14 years and everybody else got their case. Well, not everybody. The Bundys got their cases dismissed. So say a prayer for Todd Engel as well. On the regional front, I-1639, these issues with it, with the six-point font or whatever it is, and the failure to follow correct protocols for strike-throughs, underlines for the addition and subtraction of language, the fact that there were reports and allegations that there were some people that were putting this on top of the grocery tax, you know, all those things, as I understand it, are being looked into. There is a court case out there right now, and these things are being addressed. If you have information that you want to share, message me on Facebook on that. Also on the regional front, wow, the real hands up, don't shoot case out of Riverside, California. Riverside County, California. This is June 10th this happened. A BLM officer, and it looks like a National Park Service ranger, stopped a couple who had a broken down ATV and were trying to limp it back. And they were coming down a hill, and these guys pulled in and blocked the road, and this is at night. They tried to stop. They skidded, and as they're skidding past the officers, BLM officer Miller allegedly discharged his sidearm, striking the lady who had her hands up through the hand and grazing her head. This has led to renewed calls in the U.S. Congress to take away the law enforcement capabilities of the BLM, and I totally agree. I mean, this is outrageous. So if you want to check that out, it's on the Free Range Report. You can check out a great article there. Western States Coalition claims woman wounded by BLM was shot from behind. And that's according to documents and a debrief conducted of the family by a trained debriefer with military experience. I'll just kind of leave it at that. You guys can understand where I'm going with that. All right. Also on the regional front, these wolves, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but up at the Tiffany Springs campground up in Okanagan, a research student had to climb 30 feet up a tree to escape a pack of wolves that she encountered. Now, there's all these leftists out there that keep saying, no, the wolves don't attack humans. They're always good. Oh, it's good. And then all of a sudden, you have an actual wolf attack in the continental United States. Now, people that live in Alaska know better than this. People that live in Siberia know better than this. But suddenly, you've got this. And oh, by the way, she deployed her bear spray and it didn't deter the wolves, okay, which means they've been habituated. That means they're used to human beings. And clearly this less lethal attempt didn't work. So instead of the left acknowledging there's a problem with wolves, and now wolves clearly have the propensity to attack humans, and now it's proven that instead they're trying to blame the student now. It's ridiculous. All right, that brings us to the local front. today down at the Davenport Hotel, the historic Davenport Hotel in downtown Spokane, some downtown Seattle Democrats had a round table on tax structure. Now, I didn't learn about it until yesterday afternoon, and I candidly forgot to get it up on Facebook. So I apologize for that. But this, literally the downtown Seattle ideas of trying to do an income tax came to downtown Spokane. And this code of tax structure roundtable, they want an income tax, and they want a capital gains tax on top of it. So this came to Spokane, and just another example of how these bad ideas in downtown Seattle don't stay in downtown Seattle. Also on the local front, Trezzi Farm Winery up in Green Bluff ranked number 8 in Travel and Leisure magazine. Actually, our region was ranked number 8, but they were the number 1 winery out of that region. So, wow, congratulations to Trezzi Farm Winery. If you've never been up there on Green Bluff, it is a great place to visit. But congratulations. It's great to see a business so successful here in the 4th Legislative District. Also on the local front, we've got a seminar with Fred Kelly Grant coming up. And that is this Saturday. I believe it's starting at 9 o'clock. And if you get the chance, you should try to make it. It's going to be at the Moran Prairie Library up on the South Hill. Fred Kelly Grant, he's going to be talking about property rights. He's going to be talking about coordination and how you as a citizen can fight back at the local level. Again, Fred Kelly Grant, Moran Prairie Library, this weekend, this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Also, Cheryl Hancock, and that's going to be our guest today, is coming to Spokane. And just, I'm actually really super excited she's coming to Spokane. She's going to be at La Bella Vie Event Center. And I believe that is coming up here. I think it's the 20th. We'll talk about it here in a second. It's 26th of July. So next Thursday, Cheryl Hancock's going to be at La Bella Vie in Spokane Valley. And if you haven't heard her updates on Israel, what's really happening on the ground there, I really, really encourage you to show up. Also, and last but not least, the ballots for the election, the primary election coming out, I believe, this week. If you want to get my recommendations, I'm going to have them up tomorrow. You can go to VoteShay.com, Solutions, Matt's Take on Elections, and I'll have them up there. And last but not least, I want to talk about Hydro One Avista and what happened earlier in the week where the CEO and board members resigned en masse because of the new Ontario premier. Now, this validated the concerns of many that you have a foreign government controlling a company that's controlling a vital part of U.S. infrastructure. And this played out in that exact fashion, where the premier of Ontario essentially forced the resignations of all those people and shook the company up. Now, I'm not commenting on whether that was right or wrong. What I am commenting on is this proves the fact that a foreign government can control a company that controls a vital part of U.S. infrastructure and Washington state infrastructure. And that has raised some very large renewed concerns. As I understand it, they have reopened the comment period for the UTC. So people, as I understand it, can still comment on this because they've reopened it as a result of what happened earlier in the week. So if you haven't commented, you may want to go do that. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And as always, if you want to keep us on the air, you can go to VoteShay.com. And remember, too, Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean, especially for you that are driving trucks. You can listen to it at your leisure. Well, my guest today is Cheryl Hancock, reporting live from Israel, and just really appreciate that she's coming here next week. Cheryl, thanks for being on Patriot Radio again.
Thanks for having me.
So, a lot has been going on over in the Middle East. Can you catch us up on where things stand. And let's start, I guess, with Israel proper, and then we'll kind of move out into the outlying countries.
Well, Israel right now is taking a lot of hits, a lot of attacks. There have been barrages of rockets coming into Israel from the Gaza Strip inside of Israel, and there's also kites and balloons. Believe it or not, these people in the Gaza Strip are tying Molotov cocktails and any incendiary devices on these balloons and on these kites and sending them over into Israel. They land and explode and start fires. So just today, there were over 26 fires coming over in kites and balloons, and 119 since Sunday. So Israel is trying to keep up with fighting the fires all over the southern area that's burning farmers' food and, you know, food that gets exported and some that goes into the Gaza Strip. So it's really hard for them to keep up right now.
How are the people doing on the ground with this? Because this is obviously not being reported widely, at least we're not seeing it. How are people dealing with this on the ground, and you know, what's their kind of state of mind right now?
Well, this has been going on since the end of March, and it's gotten worse, and it is going to be escalating now. But the people in the towns around there have been running to their bomb shelters because of the rockets also coming in. Last weekend, there were 200 rockets that came in from the Gaza Strip, and the sirens started and didn't stop all day long. So you can imagine the kids running and screaming, and we saw some of the films of the people that are down in the south. It's terrorizing the people, and that's what it's meant to do, is to terrorize. So they're not taking it well. They're asking the government, Israeli government, do something about it. Please do something. How do you stop kites and balloons from coming in, you know, over the border and splashing into Israel, exploding and starting the fires? They're going to have to do something. So actually, I heard that the government told Hamas through channels of Egypt that they need to stop by Friday or Israel will go in and start ground troops going in and tanks going in to stop this stuff, because it is really bad. I mean, rockets are hitting people's homes, are hitting nurseries, are hitting kindergartens, and thank God no one's been killed yet. People have been hurt and put in the hospital, but no one's been killed. So it's just, it's hard for them to put up with this all the time for the last 3 months.
It's really kind of unbelievable to think about that, because here in America we have it, you know, pretty easy, and we don't see things like that happen all the time. Are there any terrorist attacks that are occurring on top of this, or what? You know, other than this happening, are there mortars, or what else is going on?
Yeah, on top of that, there are attacks going on. There's still stabbing attacks happening. There's, when you're driving your car down the streets, it's happened to me too, someone, a Palestinian, can be on top of a cliff and throw a rock at you the size of a basketball. If that rock goes through your windshield, it can kill you. So the rock that was thrown at me hit my headlight instead. So I was real blessed that it didn't hit my windshield, but the rocks have been thrown at the cars. Cars are being shot at. The IDF posts are being attacked. There's just so much going on. My friend, she's a Jewish gal living in a community over there, and just she's writing me and calling me, telling me, don't you people hear these things that's going on? You know, tell them to stop. What are we going to do? And she's very upset because she sees her people and friends of her friends, you know, getting attacked, and nothing's going on to stop it right now. What can you do? You know, it's just a hard thing that Israel's going through. So the government did have a meeting, and they are going to be doing something to stop this thing in Gaza. But right now, people are just upset. They're at the end right now. It's a hard place to live. It really is.
Well, it sounds like it. Thank God you're okay. Did you see who did it, or was it a group of people, or how does that work over there?
Well, I went down to the Gaza border, and I took a couple people that were visiting from California. I took them to the Gaza border, and we stood on the side of the border, and we watched as these kites are coming in with bombs on them, you know, these Molotov cocktails. We saw them come in. It's people coming to the front lines. Hamas is the leader in the Gaza Strip, and they're encouraging the people go to the front lines. They actually got the bus drivers that are in the Gaza Strip to pick up the people, and the bus drivers at first didn't want to do that, and some of them got beat up. So they had to listen to Hamas and take the people to the front line. So you have women bringing their children to the front line, and Israel is firing gas, you know, into the into the Gaza Strip trying to disperse the people and to get it to stop. People are getting hurt. They're running over each other. And these kites keep coming in. The balloons keep coming in. Israel is retaliating when they can, and they're hitting strategic targets in the Gaza Strip. A whole building, a high-rise building, was hit recently, and that's where the headquarters was for the Hamas, part of the headquarters. So, yeah, there's things going on back and forth, but it's not stopping. So it's a problem. When Hamas wants to attack, they use the people, and it's the people that I work with. I work with Arab people, and these children, they are brainwashed in their schools, and they have these summer camps where they learn how to kill and shoot and become suicide bombers instead of going to a summer camp where they can play and have fun. So the people are being used in the Gaza Strip. They're very poor, and if they actually kill Jewish people, they get paid for that. They will get a monthly salary, and if they end up in prison, they'll get a monthly salary. And if they die, their family will get a monthly salary. So this has been going on with the Palestinian Authority also in the West Bank. So there are more and more attacks because people are poor. There's no industry in the West Bank, so these people go out and they know if they kill Jewish people, they will get a salary. And Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian people, told Trump not too long ago that he was going to increase their salaries. So he's snubbing his nose up at the president, and he's paying them more money to go kill. They put in the school books how they want the kids to become heroes of their country and take back the land from the Jews, so they need to wipe them into the sea. And so the kids are just doing what they're being taught, and this is what they believe. So they're being brainwashed. That's why I work with the Palestinian people. I work with the kids. I go in there and take American candy and toys and play with these kids and try to teach them about love, because that's what they need, not to be killers, but to love.
So do you think, well, let me ask this. Do you think that the Israeli people are understanding why Trump is meeting with people like Putin and why he's cutting funding off to the Palestinian government there? I mean, do you think the folks there really kind of get that? And what do they think is the perception in the rest of the world?
Well, you know, yes, they absolutely see that Trump is getting it, because he has understood that on the ground. He actually talked to Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian people. He talked to him and said, if you stop paying your people to kill the Jews, and if you take that stuff out of the school books, then we will be working towards peace. We can sit down and negotiate and help you negotiate a peace deal with Israel, and so you can get a state. And instead, as I told you before, he raised the prices and or the wages, and he also made the school books worse. So people in Israel are seeing what Trump is doing, what our government is doing, and they're applauding that because they wanted the embassy. Everybody knows that the Jerusalem is the capital of the Israeli people. They know that. But when Trump moved that embassy and he gave Abbas a chance to change things, which he didn't change, so he didn't sign the waiver, and the embassy was moved in May to Jerusalem, and this is the capital of Israel. But it doesn't have to just be the capital of Israel. They could also make an order somewhere and have it the capital, because that's what the Palestinian people want, is the capital being Jerusalem also. They call it Al-Quds. They don't call it Jerusalem. So they're seeing what Trump is doing. They're seeing that he's working for the people. He understands, and that's really important, that Americans understand what's going on there in Israel. So they're so happy with people who come there and say, we're glad the embassy was moved. We're glad that somebody understands what's going on here. We are standing to help them. We're encouraging them, because people need to understand that Israel is not the Goliath and hurting the poor Palestinian people. Israel is the underdog over there. In the Middle East, you have Muslim countries all around Israel. You have hundreds of thousands of Muslim Arabs, and the Palestinian people are Muslim Arabs, and they're also from other countries. In Jordan and Egypt, they came from many places. So Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, and that's why they want to wipe them into the sea, because they want to keep that whole Middle East as their Muslim controlled area with Sharia law, and Israel's ruining that because they are the only democracy in the Middle East. That's why they're our allies. That's a place where we can go and we can help the people and we can work with Jordan and with Egypt, which we are right now with a lot of the Sunni Muslims. We're working with them. So Israel is a peaceful country to us, and I thank God that America is understanding and getting it this time, because it's helping Israel, at least encouraging them. Though the EU, the United Nations, which is made up of 193 countries and only 86 are democracies, many of those nations are Arab nations and anti-Israel nations. And so every bill they come up with is against Israel. They never vote for Israel or pass bills against Syria, for example, who's killing people, or Iran, who is threatening America and Israel. They never pass bills against them, but against Israel. They are anti-Israeli. So it's a problem, and Trump gets it. And this is a good thing.
It is a good thing. And I want to move now to Syria. What is happening there? Is it stabilizing? Is it not stabilizing? What's happening on the ground?
Well, as you know, Russia is in there helping the Syria regime, and they are gaining ground. They're getting to the last of the rebels, the holdout of the rebels. And these people, the women and children, kids, they ran over to the border of Israel. And Israel has these people on the Golan Heights, the Syrian side of the Golan Heights. They have a big sign that says, "Welcome." And also they've put up tents, many, many tents. They're treating the wounded people. Israel is taking in those that need to go to the hospital and getting them help, and they're feeding them. 700 tons of food has been given to these people. They need water. They need medicine. And now even the Israeli civilians are on the border and helping the Syrians that are running from the Assad regime that are after the men to kill them. And so, yes, this thing is probably going to be finished not too long from now because of the people. They don't have a chance. You have Iran helping Syria, and you have Russia helping Syria. And so when these Shiite countries, Syria, Iran, Hezbollah, Iraq, they all stick together and fight against the rebels that are in Syria, it's a very difficult battle. And we were trying to help, but it's really impossible. They're going to take over. And it's just coming down to that. So Israel's there on the border trying to help the people, and that's about all they can do about this. As a matter of fact, Netanyahu, you asked about this. Netanyahu has been having meetings with Russia, Putin, the leader of Russia. And what they talk about is, Netanyahu, if you allow planes or rockets to come over into our territory, we're going to shoot them down. We're not going to mess around. You come into our territory, you fire at us, we're going to fire back. So he asked Russia to keep those people back, the Syrians. And Iran has 19 military bases now in Syria, and Israel said, no, you got to get rid of that. So Netanyahu and Putin are meeting periodically and getting things worked out. Thank God they're talking. Can you imagine if they weren't, how bad it would be? I thank God that Trump is talking to Putin because they need to work things out.
Right. And it's, you know, without all the staffers there and everybody that's got the agenda and all that, just man to man, as it were, you know, in the case of Putin and Trump.
Yeah. And they need to do that, because what are you going to do if you don't talk to your enemy and try to negotiate with them and get some ground like Netanyahu has been doing the past couple of years? You come into my territory, we will take you out. And he says that to Syria, to Iran. They all know the boundaries, and Israel will follow up. He doesn't say things and not do them. And now with Trump meeting with Putin, it's necessary to talk to him and tell him what we expect. And I don't think he's being real easy on Putin. He's saying what Israel, what America needs. And Putin has got to, you know, they've got to negotiate. They've got to talk. Because if we didn't, what would it be? It would be a war. It would be a cold war, but it would be a war.
Well, let's talk very briefly about next week. You're coming to Spokane, Washington, to La Bella Vie Event Center. We're looking forward to that. And what are you going to be talking about? Why should people show up?
Well, if you want to learn anything about what's going on the ground in Israel, you need to show up, because we're not getting this stuff in the news. I'm over here. I just arrived in America recently, and I'm trying to get news from where I'm at, and there is nothing. All the things I'm telling you are things I learned in Israel. And we're really appalled that the news is not getting out. People need to know, because that what happens over there affects us here. We need to know what's going on the ground. We need to know how we're affected and how we're involved. And also, it's not just at LaBelle that we're going to be speaking, but also on the 24th, we're going to be at the Kalispo Chemist Center. And on the 25th at Shiloh Fellowship in Colville, we're going to be speaking. I've been in Israel 19 years. I've lived there 19 years. I went over there to help the people. I ended up helping the Palestinian people. I'm working closely with them. They taught me so much. I did not know I'd get an education by being in Israel trying to help people. But what we are getting, we don't here in America, is nothing. We don't get the news, and we need to know what's happening. And we need to prepare for what's happening and what is coming to America. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about current affairs and how it affects America, how it affects us personally.
So how can people follow you if they want to, get your emails, etc.?
Well, I do have an email update that I send out with the news about once a month, and just little paragraphs that people need to know what's going on. And you can just reach me by emailing me. It's the best way. I can put you on the email list. My email address is reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. All one word, reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. And that will keep you updated to some of the things going on in Israel, some of the things to look out for. So also, I am a Christian, and I will write what's happening there that Christians need to know. Also, what's happening in Israel on the ground.
I think that's absolutely critical. And, what I also believe, too, is that folks need to understand that Israel does indeed have a right to self-defense. I see so many articles out there where it's as if Israel cannot protect itself, or they fired first. I mean, they're getting rocketed. They're getting these Molotov cocktails that you were mentioning. And it's as if they can't defend themselves. And I think if we want to be intellectually honest, we have to recognize that they have the right of self-defense.
Yeah, it's right. And Israel's trying to let people know this is what we're doing. We're trying to defend ourselves. And they have to find a way to defend themselves from these kites and balloons. And they may go in and start a conflict because of it to get them stopped. I don't know if you've heard that a new law was passed in Israel just last night. And that law states now that Israel is the national homeland for the Jewish people. They made Hebrew the language, the official language, and Arabic is a special language, not an official language, and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel now. This is all new. I know people say, well, I've known that, but no, they put this into law that it won't be changed. So we may be seeing some conflict come out of this. People are very angry. The Arab people are very angry about this because there are 1.5 million Arab Israelis. They're not Jewish, and they live under a Jewish homeland. So that kind of sounds funny to their peers, out there in Iran and Syria. But anyways, we are looking at maybe problems coming up this weekend.
Well, let's talk very briefly in the couple minutes that we have left. Do you think that there's going to be war with Iran by the end of the year?
This is what Russia is afraid of right now, that between Israel and Iran, there may be a war. Actually, Israel is already going in, and they're taking out strategic positions of Iran in Syria. And so Syria fired on Israel. Israel went back, and they fired on Syria. So there is already stuff going on the ground, and it's building. And when I talk about the Shiites coming together as one group, like Iran and Syria and Hezbollah has rockets, hundreds of thousands of rockets pointed at Israel, and at this time. And so they're all working together. So, yes, there could be a war soon if this doesn't stop. As a matter of fact, Israel's on high alert on the Golan right now. They are watching very carefully, and they have to take out a drone that came in or a plane that comes over. They have to do this. So it's a very intense situation right now on the border.
How can we pray for you?
Well, mainly for protection and for wisdom, because the important thing is to stay in where I'm supposed to be. What I do is I do go to the front lines. I want to see what's going on. I want to be able to report. I go into some dangerous areas. And because of the embassy moving, there has been calls on American lives now. They want to kidnap Americans or kill Americans, and this could happen. So I really need protection over there. That would be a good prayer.
It would be. Well, Cheryl, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you next week at La Belle Vie at 6 o'clock on Thursday the 26th, and safe travels as you are no doubt probably tired as well. I just pray for rest for you as well and a renewed energy.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, Cheryl Hancock reporting live from Israel, and again, next week, 6 o'clock, La Belle Vie Event Center in Spokane Valley. It's right off Barker and Appleway there. You can show up a little early, too, but if you want to hear what's actually happening on the ground there, and she's going to have a lot more stories to share with you, show up and bring some friends and family. I do want to end the show with an incident that occurred here in Spokane Valley, at Spokane Valley Library. You know, I've seen a lot of people very concerned that taxpayer money is going to things that they don't believe in or support, and there's kind of an intentional use or promotion of a specific ideology, even in some of our public institutions. And I want to talk briefly about it, but there was a avowedly communist book put on display as kind of the rotating book of the month that advocated some very, very concerning things. And I'm gonna get more information to talk about it. But we have a screen capture of the picture of the book, etc. The fact of the matter is that our libraries are not places for political debate, they're places for reading. And if they're going to start putting out socialist materials as kind of a common theme, then I have to question why we're funding our libraries, because most of the stuff can be found online. So I'm going to bring that up next time on the show, but I wanted to put that in your ear. Thank you for all your prayers out there. May God bless all of you, and I hope I see you on Saturday at the Fred Kelly Grant presentation. May he make this generation the greatest one.